this morning. Turn with us over into 1 Peter chapter number 4. 1 Peter chapter number 4. We'll start reading in verse number 1. 1 Peter 4 and verse number 1. For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh. Here's a good Bible principle. Arm yourselves. Likewise with the same mind. For he that has suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. For the time past of our lives may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, revealings and banquetings, abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of right, speaking evil of you, who shall give an account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead. For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. But the end of all things is at hand. Be you therefore sober and watch unto prayer. And above all things, have fervent charity or love among yourselves. For charity or love shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. You may be seated this morning. Father, we love you. We thank you, Lord, for the songs that have been sung today that have touched our hearts. Thank you for the Spirit of God that's in this place this morning. Thank you for the ones that have came out to this place to hear the Word of God. Now I pray that you let me be a blessing to the people this morning. Would you do things with the Word of God today, God, that would settle our hearts. God would drive us further into your kingdom. Help us, we pray. Now, I'm a needy preacher, and I pray, Lord, you'd forgive me of where I failed you. God, I'm a man, and I sure do need a touch from your world this morning. Help me to preach, because I can't do it by myself. That I know. Help me today, I cry, in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Notice in the text verse this morning where Peter is writing, and he said in verse 7, but the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. And I want to preach on this topic this morning, on the end of all things is at hand. The end of all things is at hand. I want to say five things about this text, and I'll be done. Peter is writing, and Peter is a man of like passions as you and I. He was one of the hand-picked men by the Lord Jesus Christ. He knew what storms were. He knew what life was, and he knew who Jesus was. And so the Holy Ghost used Simon Peter to pin these words down. And this is what he said that you need to do at the end of all things. Number one, arm yourselves. Verse number one, for as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves. Now I want to say number one, what do we arm ourselves with? We're in the country. Everybody here has probably got a weapon in the house. If not, you need to get you a good slingshot. Somebody say amen right there. It will keep your neighbor's dogs at bay. Somebody say amen. But arm yourselves. And so, what does the Bible, how does it say that we arm ourselves? Number one, we ought to arm ourselves in the wisdom of God. He said simply this, arm yourselves with the same mind that he has suffered in the flesh that have ceased from sin. Now the wisdom of God. Look in Proverbs 2 and verse number 1 this morning. Proverbs 2 verse number 1. Talking about the end of all things is at hand. Arm yourselves. I noticed reading yesterday in Proverbs 2. I want you to get this text. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding. Now look at verse 4, Liberty. If thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasure, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom out of His mouth, cometh knowledge and understanding. He said you ought to be going after the wisdom of God more than you do silver. We get up every day and we go to work that we may provide for our own. And the Bible said if any man should not work, he's worse than an infidel. I could help this country and put people just back to work, amen, instead of the handout. You wouldn't see these free cell phone booths in Georgia if I was president. Anyway, that come up. I'll get back to the Bible. Now, we need to arm ourselves with the wisdom of God. If there's ever been a time, you listen to me, Mom and Daddy, I've raised 2 children. I've got 4 grandbabies in this audience this morning. If there's ever been a time, young families, that a preacher could talk to you, let him talk to you this morning. You need the wisdom of God in your life that you'd know how to do in these last days. The wisdom of God, and that is the Word of God. The Word of God we have is right. It's relevant and it's ready. We don't need a new Bible. We stand on the Word of God. There are a lot of copies, but we got the Word of God this morning. The Word of God is knowledge. If you want to have knowledge, honey, it's not about how big your pedigrees are, and I have a little one, but get in the Word of God and get the knowledge of God in your heart. What's God say about that? That's why we're in a mess in America today. Nobody knows what God says. We need to arm ourselves with the wisdom of God. Then we need to arm ourselves with the work of God. Now the Bible simply said in that verse in Peter 1 and 4, he simply says this, that he no longer should live in sin, the rest of his time in the flesh, in verse 2. We ought to arm ourselves with the wisdom of God. We ought to arm ourselves with the work of God. We should no longer live the way we used to, but we ought to be working in the kingdom of God. Just because we've got bad news from out toward Washington, honey, that ain't changed heaven's book one bit this morning. He wants us to work till Jesus comes. He wants us to love sinners and preach on sin. He wants us to welcome people into our church. And honey, it's not about seeing how narrow and how short our doors can get, but can we welcome people that don't look like us and don't act like us, but the same God in this Bible can fix their trouble the way He fixed your trouble this morning. We ought to arm ourselves in the work of God. Daddy always told me, boy, you get a job, you wouldn't stay in trouble near as much. Boy, I've noticed this. When you work, you ain't got time to get in nobody else's stuff. Some of you so nosy, you just need to get a good job in the kingdom. You wouldn't have time to meddle up in nobody else's business if you're seeing about yours. Work! Jesus is coming, honey! Turn your light on! Be salt in this whole world! There's a world dying and going to hell without God! He wants us to work in the kingdom and arm ourselves! Hallelujah! Arm ourselves in the wisdom of God. Arm ourselves in the work of God. And in verse 2, we ought to arm ourselves in the will of God. I've heard a lot of boys talking about finding the will of God. Maybe some of you come here this morning trying to find the will of God. Did you know that's contrary to the Word of God, finding the will of God? But you'll find in the Bible always doing the will of God. Quit searching for the will of God and get to doing the will of God. What is the will of God? I'm glad you asked me. Number one, the will of God for you is that you be saved. Saved from a devil's hell. Saved. There's a heaven to gain and a hell to shine. Hell's just as hot as it's ever been. Be born again by the grace of God. Arm yourselves in the will of God. This is the will of God in verse 2. That you be saved. Then that you be Spirit-filled. Your home would work a lot better, sir, if you was filled with the Spirit of God. Your job would go a lot better if you was filled with the Spirit of God. You'll not get filled on accident. You say, why do we need to be filled? Because we spill real easy. A lot of you say, well, preacher, I'm cold. Well, you got to keep your batteries charged. Preacher, I'm worldly. We got one of the best golf carts ever been made. But honey, if she pulls it in the garage and pulls the door down and don't plug it in, it ain't a going nowhere. You got to get plugged in. Get plugged in the church. Get plugged in preaching. Get plugged in the altar. Get plugged in saying. Get plugged in neck hugging this morning. My God, it humbles me that two old redneck boys come grab their preacher this morning and pray for me. That humbles this preacher. It shows how blessed I am. The will of God, you be saved, sir. Don't die and go to hell in your sin. Don't die and go to hell in your religion. I've heard people say, well, I wouldn't sit in this kind of environment for nothing. You better get saved or you go to heaven or you'll die and go to hell in your sins. You ought to thank God for a man stand up and tell you the truth. It's His will that you be saved. His will you be Spirit-filled. It's your will you be sanctified. You used to hear a lot of them old pure Church of God people talk about sanctified. That simply means set apart for the service of God. It means purity. Jesus said, be ye holy for I am holy. Honey, you're not going to be holy acting like the world and going in the world. Be ye separate and come out from among them, He said. It's time our church, honey, get cleaned up. Jesus is coming. There's people that need us, glory to God. And we need the Lord in this place this morning. I hear a lot about Baptist churches and their programs, but I don't hear much about their purity. Let your yea be yea and your nay, nay. Let your lights be trimmed and burning. Arm yourselves. Arm yourselves in the wisdom of God. Know what the Bible says. Read it. My wife takes my grandbaby to the library. She gets 10 books at a time. She's read them, half of them by the time we get home. This is what I said the other day. I said, baby, read the Bible. Read the Bible. You'll never read it out. Read the Bible. That's so foreign to people. The Bible. It's the most sold book, but it's the least read in our nation. Oh, church. Arm yourselves. Arm yourselves in the wisdom of God. Know what God is saying. Get in the work of God. Get in the will of God. Do His will. It's His will you be saved, that you be Spirit-filled, that you be sanctified. It may be His will that you suffer. That's what He's saying. And I can tell you another thing. It's His will that you say things. Brother Randy preached a sermon here the other Wednesday night. And I appreciate how our church is gathered around these men teaching. bringing these little ones to class on Wednesday night to learn about Jesus. He said, in everything, give thanks. My problem was I got the mully grubbing too much. Things about it, I done got used to being blessed, amen. I done more whining than praising. Would somebody help me down at Liberty Baptist on a Sunday morning? We've been so blessed, and it's God's will that we say thank you this morning. I see my girls go back from an altar to my grandbabies. They're not in the hospital bed this morning. It could happen tonight. It could happen on the way home from church. Let me tell you, arm yourselves in the will of God. There's nothing like doing the will of God. No, it may not let you be in the who's who crowd. Probably not even going to let you be captain of the cheerleading squad. But I tell you what it will do. It'll give you peace that passes all understanding. You know, young people, the devil, he'll show you the pretty billboards of the Clydesdale horses and the nice Bush beer and the nice Budweiser times, all that partying crowd. They'll show you the bachelor and how gimmicky all that stuff is. They don't show you the backside of them billboards that I've seen at 4 and 5 and 6 in the morning. The devil took Jesus on a high pinnacle, and the Bible said in a moment of time showed him all of his kingdoms. It don't take long for the devil to give you all he's got. But you'll never find out all God's got in a lifetime. I love him and I praise him. Arm yourselves. Number two, not only arm yourselves, but not only arm, but look in verse 4, abstain. He said this, wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of right, speaking evil of you. You're not going to win nobody to God running around with a bunch of fleas. If you run with dogs, you're going to catch fleas. You've got to understand that you are who you run. Lot, listen to me, Lot was raised in the home of Abraham, a man that gave sacrifices unto God. Lot was a man that was so blessed, but he got in the wrong crowd down in Sodom. He didn't change that crowd. That crowd changed him. Abstain. You can love people, not be ugly. They want to go out and party. Say, look, we don't do that. Come on over. Let's get some Viennese sausage and sardines and peanut butter and crackers and live real. Amen. Somebody help me preach now. I mean, that Piggly Wiggly orange juice is pretty good on Friday night. You get like me and get on a diet, anything with sugar is good in it. They had a cake last night. I said, that good? I said, are y'all crazy? It got sugar in it. You know it's good. You don't have to go out there with that crowd. Be yourself. Serve God. Love Jesus. Put a flag up in your house and say, for me and mine, we're going to serve the Lord and love people and love God and watch the blessings on my house. Buzzards are circling. Arm, abstain. Don't run with them. Romans 16:17. Some of y'all need to see this right here. I've seen all this stuff about, well, we just got to love everybody. Let me tell you something. Romans 16:17. We're to love the sinner, not the sin. You hear me? We're not a hate church. We're not a hate people and we don't preach a hate gospel. But we don't tolerate sin in our life or nobody else. And we all make mistakes. I've made enough this week to send me to hell, but the grace of God has kept me saved. Amen. Now I'm not walking around every week to see how far I can get away from God before He beats my brains out either. I'm wanting to get close to Him. Draw nigh to me, I'll draw nigh to you. I'm not looking to see how far I can get away from Him and still be saved. Romans 16:17. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you've learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. For your obedience has come abroad unto a man. I'm glad therefore on your behalf, but ye that I would have you wise in that which is good and simple concerning evil. The God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. We ought to abstain. Philippians 3:17. Philippians 3, verse number 17. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I've told you often and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is their shame, who mine earthly things. I've heard people say, well, now listen, you need to sit down. If you say something, you'll be a bigot. No, I'm not a bigot. I'm not a racist. I'm not a hater. I'm a Bible preacher. God said those that go against this Bible, you mark them and have nothing to do with them. They'll bring you down with them. You'll not change them. They'll change you. Come out and be you separate, church. I'm so tired of these wimpy men. Shake your hand like a dead fish up in your hand. Stand up and be accounted, sir. Raise your children in the nurture and admonition of God. Get them under a Holy Ghost Bible preaching and get direction for your life. He said, mark them, abstain from them. Don't hate them. Mark them. Realize they're going against this Bible. And if they're going against this Bible, they're not the friend of God. They're the enemy of God. Muslims are not our brothers and sisters. I'd love to just cut this sermon off like a stick of bologna and finish it tonight, but I know some of you won't come back to hear the rest of it. Arm, abstain. Then look, verse 7. Alert yourself. Alert yourself. 1 Peter 4, alert yourself. He says this in verse 7, but the end of all things is at hand. Let me tell you, whatever you're doing, you better be getting her done. Alert yourselves. There's a solemn warning. There's the end of all things. There's going to be the end of all opportunities. But there's also going to be the end of all oppositions. Heaven's going to fix it all. Jesus is coming. Alert yourselves. The Bible said that a thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus came that you may have life and have life more abundantly. Alert yourselves. This thing's winding down. This is not a play game. The devil's playing for keeps. Oh, I wish I could help these young families this morning. Renee, stand up, baby. You got the grandma. Stand up, Renee. My wife, we've been married 36 years. You sit down, hon. You see that little old grandbaby there, 3 or 4 weeks old, Sailor Reese. You know, she's not needing somebody just to go through the motions and act like this ain't the real deal. She needs somebody to be alerted. This thing's winding down. And I want to tell you something. I want to tell you because I can stand on the Bible and tell you and back it up. This world ain't getting better. It's going to wax. The Bible says wax. Worse and worse. She's a melting down. Arm yourselves. Abstain. Alert yourselves. There's a solemn warning, but there's also a sober watching. He said this right here, be ye sober and watch unto prayer. How many of you are praying? You've got to pray. That's how that God talks to you. How you talk to God is prayer and read the Word of God. Solemn warning, but a sober watching. Look in 2 Timothy 3, verse number 1. Then I'm about done. 2 Timothy 3, verse number 1. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, their agenda, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. I've never seen such a time when 4 and 5 year olds run mom and daddies in all my life. You ought not ask them, are you going to church Sunday? You ought to say, we're going to church Sunday. Let them kick and throw a fit and drag them all the way to the car. I had a drug problem. I was drugged to church. It didn't kill me. Alert yourselves. Look what it says. Unthankful, unholy. Look, without natural affection. It's not natural that a man love a man or a woman love a woman. It's not natural. Truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, that is lack of control, fierce, despisers of those that are good. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Boy, you better believe that. Go on, look on down in Lakeway Dowie this morning. Look at the boat ramps. I run over you backing in there this morning. Lovers of pleasure more than God. Go get you a tea time at Oak Mountain about 10 o'clock prime time this morning. Call over there tomorrow. You know what they'll say? Oh, we can't get you on about 3:30. I know some of you are looking down, but you're going to get some preaching anyhow. Alert yourselves. Then look in verse 8. This is what I want to get to you. Apply yourself. Just apply yourself. Well, how do we apply ourselves? Look, if you would, back in that text over into 1 Peter chapter number 4. And look now, if you would, in verse number 8. And this is what he's saying now at the end of all things. This is what you do. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourself. Why? Because people need each other. Have fervent charity, look, among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sin. Let me tell you something. There's children here that's going to make mistakes. You don't win them by kicking them to the curb. You win them by loving on them. And it don't matter to me whether me and you sanction it, go with it or not. It's a fact. They're human. We all got children. We're all even at the foot of the cross. And without the blood of Jesus, we'd all be in hell this morning. Love sinners. When they fall, pick them up. Apply yourself. Quit waiting on 3 deacons to do something for 400 people. Apply yourself. Do what you can do. Love on your preacher every now. Quit talking about him at lunch and go to praying for him and love on him. He's trying to keep your babies out of hell. What we do, preacher? We arm ourselves. We abstain ourselves. We alert ourselves. But we apply ourselves. Use hospitality one another without grudging. Look at that in verse 9. Use hospitality one another without grudging. You know what the commentators say there? People didn't have a place to stay. They were so persecuted, they come in them churches, and people got to grumbling because they had to make space and put them up. I'm glad there's some people at Liberty Baptist Church willing to make space for others. Amen. They ain't sitting in my chair. I don't know where I'm going to sit when the wall comes down. No way. Looks like somebody's going to get my seat. Somebody got my parking spot, but I didn't pooch my lips out. I come back this morning. You'll go to Walmart, they'll steal your parking spot, and you'll get right back up in there Friday evening. You want to see a zoo, just walk on up in there Friday. Yes, sir, if you can. What we need to say, we need somebody to sing this morning. What we need to do, Brother David? Who we need to get to sing this morning? You and me, sir. Haynes, come on back, let's sing this morning. Apply yourselves. Y'all see that? Above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover them up to your sins. Use hospitality to one another without grudging. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. And doing all you can do for the cause of Christ. I don't know about you, but I'm more determined. I want to do my part than ever. I'm glad there's new families here. I hope you stay. You say, well, preacher, we'll have to straighten you out if we come. Well, just come on. I guarantee you, we'll get to preaching and loving on you for long. You'll be loving back. It's hard to whoop on somebody when they're loving on you. A lot of you roughnecks know what shooting and killing and knocking and cutting and stealing is. Won't you find you some Jesus and find out what the Bible is, loving one another and getting a hold of God and letting Him bless you real good. I'm talking about just really blessing you in a way you've never been blessed. Because He sure is good at it. In 1979, I met this woman at Panama City Beach, Florida. I left here. My daddy gave me, I think, $1,000 to his name and my name. I moved in a house with her grandmother. We had nothing. Her daddy set us a single-wide trailer up out there beside where she lived just so we could. We had a black and white TV, got two channels. It'd get three if she'd go stand by the Venetian blinds and wave. That's the truth. It'd get 17 if she'd stand by them rabbit ears. Yesterday I got to praying. I said, oh God, look how good you've been to me now. Has he been good to anybody? Y'all sang on, family, what to do when you don't know what to do. You come.